I'm Tom Ather, and I'm happy to welcome Bob and Ellie Hahn to the Art Museum of Greater Lafayette. They are collectors, patrons, benefactors of the arts. In fact, they have a vast collection of art, a lot of it by Indiana artists in the Hahn House Museum, but they also have very generously given to our permanent collection over 50 of their paintings. And so we're very grateful for that and very happy to welcome them here to talk with us. I was going to start by asking if either of you have formal training in art, since you seem to know so much about art.
No, we really don't. We've taken a few classes together at the art museum, but that's about the extent of it. Maybe art appreciation classes.
Okay. Did you have a lot of experience with visual arts when you were young and growing up that led to this attraction?
Neither one of us did. I was raised on a farm, and Ellie's father worked in a factory, and
11 kids. We didn't 11, have much art
around. Right. Yeah. No, it was just. But I think it was one of those deals where once we got interested in it, then we start studying it and learn from there. It was more a matter of being kind of dormant, and then when we started on it, then we studied a lot.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, how you actually began collecting, how you got into the habit of collecting.
We really started buying just paintings at the Round the Fountain Art Fair.
Okay.
And at some point in time, Bob said, you know, if we have a collection, why don't we do Indiana art? Mm-hmm. We started pursuing the historic art.
Mm-hmm. So that was in 1992, and so every piece of art we've bought since then has been by an Indian artist, except we have a little collection of Western art that we like. But so that was what we focused on, is Indian art.
And that was going to be one of my questions. You know, what sort of underlying principles or priorities have guided you in collecting? So first of all, mainly Indiana art.
All Indiana art, except for Mark Greeley that we fell in love with on a trip out west.
Okay.
We don't consider that part of our regular collection, but yeah, Indiana, and mainly historic Indiana artists.
Okay.
One of the things that we firmly think is that if you're going to have a collection, you have to define your collection so you know what you're collecting, so that it has a focus. And you can define your collectors as not having a focus if you want to have your collection that way and have it be eclectic. We decided we want ours focused, so we defined our parameters as Indiana art, I mean, artists by Indiana artists, primarily oil paintings, major sizes.
But we always buy something we love. We never buy anything.
Yeah, and high quality. That's the other thing I was missing. We don't collect names. We don't care. I mean, it's always great if you can find a great painting by an artist with a good name, but if you find a great painting by an artist without a good name, we still collect that.
Now, are there any time parameters? I mean, do you stop at 1900 or?
Most of what we consider the regular collection goes up to about 1950 or so, but we also collect current artists just to support artists.
How did you decide to give so many paintings from your collection to the museum?
Well, at the time, and we still do, we had a lot of paintings. So, I mean, it wasn't like we were giving them half our collection. Mm-hmm. We were giving them pieces that were essentially good paintings, but paintings that we had duplicates of, or that we had other paintings to fill that hole. So, mm-hmm. And I was very active at the art museum at the time, and I was on the collections committee and the exhibition committee, and mm-hmm. And so we just I knew because of that the art museum did not have a really good representation of a lot of Indian artists, so mm-hmm. this was a way that they could get represented by a lot more artists.
Okay. Now, are your tastes in art pretty similar, or do you
very similar?
You don't have any major disagreements?
No, very rarely. There are a few pieces that we agree to disagree.
Not more than three or four.
Because I tend to like paintings that are more pleasant.
Okay.
And so he likes somber pieces maybe a little bit more than I do.
The only ones I really know we disagree on is one of the reasons the art museum got that piece was because Ellie didn't like it as much as I did.
You're talking about the George Aldrich.
George Aldrich, right. And then we have another piece by Henrik Mayer that's somber like that, that I really like, and she doesn't like it quite so much. But other than that, in terms of pleasant impressionistic landscapes, we both know what the other is thinking when we see it.
But the other somber piece you mentioned is still in your home.
Yes, right. It's not by Aldrich. It's by artist that was born around 1900.
It's a regionalist American scene kind of painting.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the among the ones that you gave to the museum, and we have a list here of them, are there ones that are particular favorites of yours, or that you really were sort of sorry to see let go, or ones that have a particular meaning for you
there are lots of pieces on there, Tom, that would enhance our collection if we had them back, and if they wouldn't enhance our collection if we had them back, we wouldn't have given them to the art museum because they wouldn't be meaningful for you either. But in fact, we have. And I can tell you there aren't very many, a couple that I would take back in an instant. That would be the Aldrich we talked about. There's a couple more of the steel.
Okay.
That's very important. Jesus, and then the Otto Stark, that's the Lake Michigan piece was an important piece. Mm-hmm. And those are two that we would take because they're very important artists.
But you have other works by them in your collection.
Oh yes. Right. Oh yes, yes. We're very yes. And really, really high-end pieces. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are nice pieces, but on a scale of 1 to 10, they're not 10s. Mm-hmm. This one could be close to a 10 for an Aldrich, but for most of the artists, they're not. I mean, the ones that are really, really, really high-end pieces. And that's what we specialize in is mm-hmm. like 9s and 10s. See?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the D. Scott Evans we actually bought for the museum.
Okay.
No. No.
No, which one was that? The cockfight?
No. That wouldn't be Scott Evans. Oh, was it Scott Evans? No, William Edward Scott.
Oh,
she had the wrong Scott.
Wrong Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, the William Edward Scott we bought for the museum. That's that large cockfight piece. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. We that was conserved fairly recently.
Yes,
by Barry Bauman, who's conserved a number of.
Yeah, and I'm glad he did that because it needed conservation, and the conservation was going to be more expensive than we thought it would be, and then he did it for nothing, and it worked out really well.
Yeah. He's been terrific.
It's a great painting. It's a great painting, too.
He's a wonderful resource for museums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in your own collection, have you had a lot of the works at the Hahn House conserved as well?
Most of them have been conserved by the time we buy them.
By the time you bought them.
Because if it comes through a gallery, they generally tend to make sure that it looks their best so that they can get top dollar for it.
Mm-hmm. But that's not always true. And we were walking, had a tour the other day, a couple months ago, and I was talking about this painting, and I noticed there was a little flaw in the paint. And I looked at it, so we took it down off the wall and took it up and have it conserved, because once it starts to have a flaw, you have to get it fixed right away.
Now, would you say that your particular interest, Bob, is impressionism? I mean, is that what really catches your eye?
Both the rap on Indiana art and the advantage of Indiana art is that they almost all the artists specialized in Impressionism. So there really wasn't any, to a great extent, postmodernism or modernism or abstract. There wasn't that didn't exist in Indiana art. And so if you want to collect Indiana art, you have to like Impressionism. Because if you don't, you're not going to find anything you like. Mm-hmm. And I guess that somewhat answers that question. We didn't avoid the others because we didn't like it. We didn't get it because there aren't any to get.
Well, now we do have, there are pioneer painters, of course, were before Impressionism, and we have a number of pioneer paintings.
Yeah, but I think we're talking about the more modern, I'm talking about more the postmodern work and they just didn't. We have a couple abstract pieces by Edwin Fulwider, who painted them in the 70s, who we have some wonderful pieces earlier by him, but that's really just not something you can do. You either like Impressionism and you collect Indiana or you don't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that we necessarily chose Impressionism. We chose Indiana art and then we fell in love with Impressionism.
And you're mostly collecting landscapes then, but landscapes with a difference if you...
Generally with figures or buildings or something to add some interest to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Indiana is known as landscape Impressionists. And again, that's another I think, misunderstanding of Indiana artists, because everybody says, well, they're just landscapes, but they're not. There's a lot in there, and there's a lot of variety, and we have figural pieces and interior scenes, and all of that adds a lot of variety. Mm-hmm. So if you don't work at getting something other than landscapes, you'll end up with just landscapes. But if you work at getting other than landscapes, you can get other than landscapes. Mm-hmm. So our most major steals, for instance, are probably, one of our most major steals is a painting of his son playing the cello.
Mm, okay.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.